great Wales rugby careers will come to an end on Saturday when George North pulls on the Wales jersey for the last time. Welcome to the Welsh Rugby Union podcast. We'll hear from some of the stars of Welsh rugby's future shortly. We'll start with a star from the present and recent past. George North has announced that his 121st cap against Italy on Saturday will be his last. It was an emotional press conference as he explained his decision to the Welsh media.
Like, it's not an easy decision for me. It's not being an easy decision at all. For me, it feels like the right time now for me personally. What's probably right, best thing for me and my family, the sacrifice that everyone has to make. And I appreciate that from day dot. And for me, it's a decision I didn't take lightly because what it means to me to put on the jersey and what it has done for so long. It's about being able to go out on my terms and being able to enjoy it for every second that I have for the last 14 years and the same for the next this weekend and Saturday to really, I guess, take it all in and essentially to live my dream again one more time. It's been something that has been on my mind. And for me, it's always been about being the best I can be for Wales and being the best I can be in with the three feathers on my chest. And it was a real head and heart conversation and the amount of times bounced back and forward. But for me, I would hate to, I guess, put on the jersey and not do it justice and what it deserves. And I'm still doing that now. And it's been obviously a hell of a run to get here. And for me, it was, you know, the pride of putting the jersey on is also the pride of my decision that I would leave it in a hopefully a better place for the next guy to have a go. And I've lived every single second of it. I've cherished every single second, the highs and the lows, which has been plenty of. The people I've met, the friendship I've got, the coaches I've worked with along the way. I couldn't have written it better myself, to be honest.
Perhaps people are shocked here because we all think of the 18-year-old that played the first cap against South Africa, the two tries. When you look back at that career, does it seem like yesterday or how do you view those 14 years?
I don't think I've stopped, is the honest answer. I think I've been very fortunate to live a dream that not many people get to do. And like to be able to do it at home in front of a sold-out stadium, with my family around me, seems like the best way for me to start my next chapter.
What's Saturday going to be like? Because you can see what it means to you now and what it has meant for you throughout your whole career.
I don't want it to be any different to normal. I said that, I spoke to the squad this morning. I said, let's not get weird. You know, this week is the same and the preparation the same. For me, this is why I wanted to get my message out as soon as I could, because for me, this is a huge week for us as a squad and for our Six Nations and our development as a squad and where the boys are. And I ask that nothing would ever change from what we always do. You know, we go toe-to-toe each day. We work as hard as we can each day to get better. You know, for us, it's a must-win game. And for me, the focus, it should never be on one person. And that's something I spoke to Gats about, is that what's best for the squad is best for me. And like I said to the boys, let's not get weird. Let's just keep doing what we do because it's worked well for us and we're not too far away from what we know, a performance we can deliver, and for 80 minutes as well.
But it does feel like the bit of an end of an era. I know it's a cliche, but in terms of that sort of group that came 2010-11, there was a lot of youngsters that went to New Zealand. I think you're the only one left.
Yeah, the last one standing. I think for 14 years, I don't think anyone can ever doubt what I've offered up. And for me, I was speaking to Becky and obviously her when she stepped away from cycling and what that meant to her. And the conversation we have had plenty of times is like, I think when you know. And sometimes that's not the right answer. The answer that is the fairy tale answer or the fairy tale finish. But for me, it's been the dream. And in my heart, I know it's the right time for me to step away.
George, just looking back over your career, what moments stand out as some of the highlights?
I think any young person's dreams to play for Wales. And I think my first cap is something that will always burn strong with me. It'll put a smile on my face. It will always, I think at the time I said I had a list of goals in the back of my door, in my bedroom, and I knocked out probably 95% in one game, in one day. And to me, that really sort of gave me the snapshot of the window to really push on, to kick on, give the fuel, the desire to do what I have done for so long. And I think that first cap will always stay with me. I think we had a pretty decent patch between, you know, 11 and 13, maybe 14 as well. And to me, that ride and that journey with that group of guys there was pretty special. And that I've been to 4 World Cups, done enough, give me a G up sometimes as well, you know. Like this week, I know what this week means to us. It means to me, it means to the squad. And I would hate for any of my messaging to dilute or take away from the focus and the enormity of what the task is. Italy, obviously, full of beans. They're playing a good brand of rugby now, and they seem, obviously, after the weekend, they'll be doubly full of beans. But for me, like I said to the boys in the, when I addressed them earlier, nothing changes. Our focus is still the same. Obviously, this is news now, but hopefully tomorrow we can get back. Well, end of this afternoon now, we'll be back on track with rugby. And the focus turns to a very positive and a very excited Italy that will want to come to Cardiff and put on a show like they did a few years ago. But, you know, this is, like I said earlier in the Six Nations, this is a great opportunity for these guys to really forge what they want the next World Cup cycle to look like. You know, they've got a great opportunity to stamp their name on a jersey across the board, you know, starting out fresh from a new beginning. You know, what a great opportunity for these guys. And I feel like I've had my journey and I've loved it. And it's time for those boys to have their journey now and love it as much as I have.
You mentioned 2011 to 2014. What would be your favourite memories, specific memories looking back?
I think 2013 Lions tour was special for me. I think it was special for a number of reasons, from like a personal point of view. I was very happy with my tour I had and the impact I could have had on the tests and the build-up. But just the memories and the group of guys there was incredible, you know, working along those guys as a young man. I just couldn't believe that the conversations I was able to have with, like, Dricko and Big Paul, having the Welsh boys around me to support me there, the English guys were great, and just that journey and how it painted out. And for me, those memories are still probably one of my, probably the favourite tour I've been on, or one of them for sure.
Okay.
Cheers.
And I promise you, there aren't many press conferences which end with a burst of applause. So let's pay tribute to one of the great careers, and who better to do that than the coach who gave North his first and last caps, Warren Gatland, who also discussed the team selection for the Italy game and looked forward to that match. But after, he was asked where he ranked George North amongst the players he's coached.
Oh, definitely up there. Incredibly talented rugby player, athlete, but probably more important, just what a quality person he is, and great man off the field, a good family man. Been a brilliant servant for Welsh rugby, obviously with his Lions history as well and what he's achieved there, so couldn't speak more highly of him. I didn't really try stopping him. I completely understood his decision. He's going to France, taking the family with him. He just said that the difficulties probably with travelling backwards and forwards and being involved, he wants to give 100% if he was still involved in international rugby. So at the moment, you know, he's made that decision to focus on the family and playing in France. He's, you know, he did say would have, the opportunity was there, would have loved to stay in Wales, but he wasn't really given that opportunity. And so that's probably made his decision for him.
You give him his first cap in as an 18-year-old. Do you see any parallels with what you're doing right now and that decision, or was he just a unique case?
We knew what an athlete he was, and size and speed and ability, but he was raw, and with a few players at the moment, we're excited about the talent that's potentially coming through, and the same sort of process about them learning from those experiences in terms of game management and learning from playing at this level as well.
In terms of the narrative this week, how does it compare to building to a Grand Slam decider?
We didn't put anything on that. We just talk about the game. Just the focus on the game is exactly what you do with Grand Slams. You don't talk about the Grand Slam you talk about, just focusing on the outcome and preparing properly for the game, and that's exactly what we've been doing for this week. And I think we're all aware it's an important game for us. We're at home. We felt like we've been in games, all the games for long periods, and put ourselves into a position that we're, you know, potentially could have won a couple of more games than we have at the moment. And, you know, that's been frustrating for us, but, you know, continuing to work hard and talking to players continually about situations, scenarios, game management, and continuing to improve.
It's an inexperienced front row on the bench.
Yeah. They've got to do a job, and, you know, we've got it, you know, particularly in a few positions up front, and in terms of, it's really important that we develop some depth in those positions. You know, Corey Domachowski has been involved and stuff, and so we've got Gareth, who's got a lot of experience now. We've had Corey, we've been building on that experience, but there's a chance for Kemsley to get, you know, potentially some game time and for us to develop more depth. And it's one of those scenarios where you pick some youngsters, you give them a chance. If it doesn't work out, you get heavily criticised. And then on the other hand, if you're not developing and you pick up some injuries, and people criticise you for why haven't you exposed and given some of those youngsters an opportunity. So we're trying to find a balance, and we're trying to build on that in terms of creating some depth and players that have been working hard, giving them that chance.
When did you sort of realise the size of this rebuilding job that you're currently facing?
Right from the start. You know, it's kind of like we've made this decision. You tend to go back and you look a little bit at history. You can go back as far as 2003, where it was probably not the greatest year for Welsh rugby, and 2 years later that team wins a Grand Slam. And it does take a little bit of time to continue said about you can't coach experience. Players learn from being out in the middle. They make mistakes. How do you rectify and correct those mistakes for them to be better the next time? So we know where we are as a group, but this group of players have worked exceptionally hard. I can't question the effort. You know, looking at some of the statistical data in terms of the GPS numbers, they're very good. There's no way that they're not trying out there. And that's, for me, is that what you can hang your hat on and what the players can hang their hat on, because they are giving everything at the moment. And for us, it's, and for some of the players, it's a steep learning curve, but we knew that when we took it on.
You've never lost there today as a Wales head coach. Is this the best Italian side you've faced in that time?
Yeah, they look physically in probably better shape than they've ever been in the past. They've got some depth across the whole of the squad. They've probably got a good balance to their game at the moment, where potentially last year they were playing a lot of attacking rugby, but that probably cost them at times and put them under a lot of pressure. So they've developed much more of a balanced kicking game in terms of the way they're playing. And yeah, they've had some good performances in this competition, you know, particularly stayed in the fight last week against Scotland. Scotland started well, sort of dominated that first period of the game, and Italy took their 3 points, kept the scoreboard ticking over, scored a couple of tries from little kicks through, and ended up winning the game. And probably Scotland in the end probably overplayed, and I see this as a real positive for the competition. You know, it's something that we've needed. There's been a number of years, and everyone's spoken about, you know, should Italy in the past be in the Six Nations? Should we be looking at someone like Georgia to come in as a replacement? And, you know, it's great to see them doing well and making this such a competitive competition.
Warren, what was the thinking behind dropping Weir Owens to the bench? Because obviously he played well last week.
Yeah, he did play well. We kind of had a reasonable discussion about probably one of the things that we need to continue to improve on is that sort of last 15 minutes, 20 minutes of the game, and some of our game management and the impact of our bench. And probably the discussion was him being able to sort of do that in terms of coming off the bench. Look, he's not a happy camper. He's disappointed he's not starting, and I expected that and I respect that. We had a good conversation about that yesterday, and it doesn't mean this is going to be something that's going to continue to be a regular thing for him, but we just felt with this game and the way things are, we were also looking at sort of that, like I said, that last 20 minutes and impact from the bench, and did he potentially best fit that for just for this match?
Well, not being in the situation before with Wales, how are you feeling personally about the pressure this week, and what's at stake on Saturday?
I love it. For me, it's a challenge, you know. It's kind of like you find out about people. You find out about people in weeks like this when you're under a little bit of pressure, how you respond to that pressure, who's going to put their hand up, who's going to accept the responsibility. And you find out so much more about individuals when you're under pressure. And that's kind of where, you know, that's what international sport and professional sport's all about. So it's the big moments, whether it's you're playing for Grand Slams or you're at the other end of the table fighting for survival and fighting to make sure that, you know, we get a win on the weekend.
You're listening to the Welsh Rugby Union podcast. So clearly plenty of determination to get that win on Saturday. Before that, Wales under-20s take on Italy in Cardiff on Friday evening. Coach Richard Whiffen explained what status squad are in ahead of their final Six Nations game.
As always, towards the back end of the campaign, there's a few banged up and bruised players, and obviously we saw there was a fair bit of collateral damage from the France game, both sides. So with change, give someone an opportunity, and some boys have done really well, and there's an opportunity that guys that have trained hard for 4 weeks to put their hand up and put a good performance out there for the last game of the campaign.
And start with the leadership. You lost one captain who was going to be going into his second year before it all started, and then his replacement gets injured last week. So what happens to the captaincy now?
So Harry Bedell will captain the team. Again, someone that is a player who leads by example, who has been great in the games that he played through the tournament. Great energy. Players will follow him into battle. So, you know, I'm pleased to see him want the role, and he's grown through the week with it.
So looking at the Italy game in particular, Italy have had a really good season at under-20s level. They're probably going to be coming into this game as favourites.
Oh yeah, you know, they come off the back of a very good performance and win against Scotland. You know, they'll come in here with full of confidence, and you know, they've got a strong forward pack and set piece that's a way for them into the game. And you saw it ground down the Scottish and eventually gave them opportunity to rack up a handsome scoreline. But again, as with every team, we see massive opportunity to strike against them. And we feel that, you know, we play a high ball in play game and try and tire out that forward pack, then that will cause dividends later in the game.
A forward pack that ground down the Scottish, perhaps even more impressively, ground down the French.
Yeah, they've been, like I say, they've been very, very strong. Their scrums are a weapon. You don't see many French packs going backwards, but it certainly did in that game. So that's a big threat. But again, we've got sort of strategies in place to try and avoid that. And also, if our skill set's on point, then we won't be giving scrums away.
So let's hear from a couple of the stars of the future. Scrum half Rodri Lewis burst onto the scene a couple of years ago, brought into the 20 squad at the age of 17. And also the scorer of the Premiership try of the season for Aberavon, a double sidestep earning comparison with the great Shane Williams. So how's he looking forward to his first start of this campaign?
I've been in the fold now for 3 seasons really, but yeah, I've just been patient. You know, I can't control everything, I can only control what I can control. So, you know, if I'm not getting selected, that's fine. I've just got to be patient, wait for my opportunity, and hopefully I can take it.
Yeah, as you say, first brought in when you're 17, but scrum halves, there are a lot of talented ones around, aren't there?
Yeah, to be fair, it's been quite a challenge, to be honest. There's loads of talented boys, and in all fairness to Yayan, he's been performing really well as well. So I know I have full support of him when he's starting, and I'm sure he'll be the same to me.
How do you find it coming on, particularly in the last game against the French, because you got quite a lot of game time at the end of that?
To be fair, there was sort of a no-pressure environment. I think the scoreboard had sort of gone by then, so I knew I could just sort of play how I wanted to play, and that's, you know, attacking, just seeing space and trying to execute it. So yeah, just that's probably me at my best when there's no stress on me and I can just do my job.
Talking about bursting onto the scene, you sort of went a bit overboard in that try of the season playing for Aberavon compared to Shane Williams. Just explain what that process was like.
Yeah, to be fair, that season in general was nuts. I mean, 3 months prior to that, I was playing school rugby. 3 months later, making my debut for Aberavon, becoming the youngest semi-pro player ever to play for them. And then, well, a few weeks after that, I'm scoring that try. And yeah, it was a bit of a whirlwind. And then, obviously, got honours in 18s and 20s that season. And yeah, it was just that trajectory was almost going up. And then, surreal to be honest, but, you know, can I do it again? That's what I want to push myself to be able to do. Like,
score another try like that?
Yeah, definitely.
Be nice to get one on Friday. Just tell us a bit more about your background coming through to Aberavon and where you're playing now.
Started at my local club in Cwmcimbrech RFC. I then did two seasons with Cungos, but I spent most of my juniors with Abercrombie FC. I then got pulled into the Ospreys 16s, and then COVID sort of came around, so rugby was sort of restricted, so I didn't end up playing any youth rugby. I went straight into senior rugby then. I joined Aslavira, RFC then, their seniors. I played only about 3 or 4 games, and then I got called up to Aberavon as a sort of an injury replacement, and yeah, I went from there really. Ospreys then signed me up that season, and then I made the switch into Swansea, where I've been playing since.
Because the Ospreys now feed their players to Swansea, don't they? So
yeah,
how are you finding that?
It's different in the aspects of you don't have older boys then, etc. So you've got to sort of learn more, which for my development has been a lot better. I've been able to take control of games more, and yeah, I've really enjoyed the experience, and obviously working with Gus, who was in the academy with me in the Ospreys. So yeah, it was a easy sort of transition.
And in terms of your experience coming into the Six Nations and hopefully this summer as well, how much of a benefit has it been to you?
Oh yeah, it's been huge. 2 seasons ago when I went into the 20s, you had Joe Hawkins, Mason Grady, Dave Jenkins, Chris Chunza, Mackenzie Martin, Alex Mann. Like, there's loads of boys there that are now playing international rugby. So for me, like, it was a massive learning and probably a bit of a shock to the system, because you're playing with boys that are extremely talented. So for me, it was just, when I came back in, just showing sort of a little bit of maturity and a bit of leadership, knowing that I've been there, I've seen what it's, you know, what it takes, and really enjoying it.
First pick from your 17s, is this your last year at under-20s level?
Yes, it is. So, you know, hopefully we can finish it off well with a win against Italy on the weekend, and obviously going into the World Cup, and we'll be looking to have strong performances.
And you look at Italy, they've been pretty good at 20s level, haven't they?
Yeah, to be fair, they've been really well for the past couple of years, to be honest, and they're going to be a big challenge for us physically, but I think we've got players, we've got athletes then that can really match them. So we're really excited for the challenge.
One of those athletes is Loosehead prop Josh Morse, big enough to cope in the front row, fast enough to play plenty of other positions as well. So let's find out a bit more about his rugby journey.
It's been a long one, good one. Coming through the juniors with Llyn Dyfri, started as 8 in the back row, and then as I got older, just faded into the front row then.
What age did they suggest that to you?
Well, under 16, well, it started off with Mynydd Mawr. I was a schoolboy rugby, so I went from 8 there to going prop, and then 16 Scarlets, that's where I got into the role of prop, and then, well, went to Corsica then, and we had a lot of front rows in Corsica, and because I was quite a fast prop, Ross said if I could fill in the back row, so I played 6 and 8 then, and I loved it there because, well, that's my favourite position, 6 and 8, so I'm not saying I thrived, but I did well.
So you got those skills, but you've been put back in the front row for obvious physical reasons. It's an interesting position for a young player to try and come through and develop.
Yeah, it's like, the older I got, the more the role of the prop is like, you've got a job, as in, like, when you were 8, I was carrying, hitting, well, going at the backs, but now it's about gaining that 2-3 metres in that carry with being the prop, and you've got to win the scrum, line out. It's just the role of the prop has just gone more important the higher the level.
In terms of coming into the 20s, which has been a pretty physical battle, what's been the level that's prepared you best for this?
Last year, it was Corsica straight into the 20s, so that was a bit of a step up, because the gameplay was just much faster, much physical, and the more I got, well, trained with the boys, the more I got to know the chemistry of the boys and blended in with them, and just, that was good. But coming up to this season's 20s, I played for Llyn Dyfri against Swansea in Cardiff, and those 2 games really made me feel much confident going into the 20s, because, like, playing for Llyn Dyfri just felt good, felt nice, because you're at that high level and you sort of just, like, merged into 20s then, so, yeah. But I found those 20s was faster, but it was a bit more physical with the Prem team then, so, yeah.
Been up against a load of players who've been getting quite a lot of experience at the Championship, Division 2 in France, or over in Ireland, so you've had those 2 games, but maybe it would have been nice to have had a few more for your development.
Yeah, it would have been nice. It was, well, against Ireland, I was like, this is going to be a good test, because last year I missed out on that. Last year they were really powerful men, and looking at the analysis, and you were looking at Irish boys this year, and they got some size on them. I was like, this will be a challenge. But went into there, well, felt comfortable, had a good front row, so yeah, it went well.
Yeah, last year and early on this year, coming off the bench a lot, but getting a chance to start now, that's quite nice.
Yeah, that was quite good against Ireland, my start, so it felt good wearing number one instead of 17.
And people are crying out with someone with the frame that you've got and the athletic abilities you've got to come through. How important has the Scarlets Academy been in developing you, and what are they sort of getting you to work on?
They've been helping me with analysis, looking into how to be a better prop, as in technically, and then the frame then, well, thanks to the S&Cs, then they just get you to do the bench squats, trying to bulk you up, be a better prop then. So, yeah, it's been good. Food is good there.
And your last year of 20s?
Yeah, it's my last year, so...
So what happens to you coming out of this after the summer?
Hopefully I'll be in more in the mix with Llandovery first, to get the maturity, playing against different age props, like trying to mature myself to play on that level then. After that, Scarlets, like drip feeding in out there, so, and I'll hopefully merge into there then.
And you look at the Scarlets, you look at the likes of Kemsley Mathias coming through at that level. He's not that much ahead of you, is he?
No, but in the gym, he throws some weight about, so I've got a bit of catching up to do in the gym, but yeah. Got Wynn then. Wynn's been a good idol. Well, he's been helping me doing lift clubs, going down, and was picking his brain just to see what can do better as a prop and how he found different games. And yeah, I asked him about how was Taniela Tupou, the Australian prop, and he said he was good. It was a good battle because, well, you got the Tonkin Thor and he's a big boy.
Well, he's another guy who's come through Llandovery, but he didn't go through the Academy 20s route, did he? So, yeah, he's someone who's got a real sort of knowledge from, you know, the front row of hard school, if you like.
Aye, yeah. And, well, you buy some bales from him now and again. So, yeah.
So hopefully we'll see much more of players like them as one of the greats vacates the international field. All the best to George North. Hopefully he'll cap his international career with a win against Italy. Plenty to report on next week, plus we'll look forward to the Women's Six Nations. But until then, goodbye.